Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're going to learn about Outdoor Warrior Nation and hear how Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota is assisting Minnesota veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here at home in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities to our Army National Guard units stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, St. Paul, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here, work here, and serve here. It is our mission to be good community partners. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter-drug program. In our role as emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, wildfires, civil unrest, or a pandemic. While I'm in the community, people often stop me to thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude, but I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Outdoor Warrior Nation is a 501c3 organization that helps military and first responders with mental trauma, physical and emotional stress, and provides an opportunity to get them engaged in Mother Nature. Here to share information about Outdoor Warrior Nation is Lisa and Greg Hungaville. Lisa retired from the Minnesota Army National Guard at the rank of Staff Sergeant Major after 34 years of service. Greg retired at the rank of Lieutenant Colonel after 25 years of service. He served first in the United States Marine Corps and then the Minnesota Army National Guard. Lisa, Greg, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, I want to get it out in the open right now. I actually served with both of you, so it's great to see you in person. I know that you had to fly up from Florida to be here, to be in the studio. We really appreciate that. And as the Adjutant General was speaking and I was looking at the two of you sitting there in the studio with me, I saw that each of you had to put your cheaters on. And here we are, three old retired Army soldiers with cheating glasses on because we can no longer read appropriately the fine print.
Yeah, absolutely. It was hard at first being able to recognize that my near vision is not as good as it used to be. So, but you know what? That's okay. It's part of, it's like fine wine. As it ages, it gets better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we can sit here and joke and have some fun about it. But we got some important stuff to talk about. And Lisa, I want to start with you. You're the CEO of Outdoor Warrior Nation. Maybe you can just give us a real quick, you know, military service, 34 years. But tell us a little bit about that and then what brought you to Outdoor Warrior Nation.
So when I joined in the military, I was 17. Didn't know what I wanted to do, didn't even know I was going to actually stay in for 34 years. But I went from HHB 34th Gavardi, and I ended my career at Joint Force Headquarters as a Sergeant Major. Went from a little fuzzy to a Sergeant Major.
Yeah.
So it's been great. It's been actually very fun to have all those memories, and I miss the people. I miss the people a lot.
And so you left or retired, and you needed something to kind of fill the void with your time, and is that how Outdoor Warrior Nation came to be?
In those terms, yeah. Actually, I got out, and Greg was working, and he really couldn't help me at the time, but I got into an organization, loved it, got to know everything about it, and then about a year ago, we decided to go on our own, and we created Outdoor Warrior Nation for us to actually do our own, be able to give our own rules, our own regulations, tell people who they can and cannot, you know, do and deal with our own money.
And it's interesting that you say own your own program, your own thing, because you use it as your acronym, obviously, Outdoor Warrior Nation. So, Lisa, I just want to say real quick, you know, thank you for your 34 years of service. We do appreciate that. And Greg, coming to you, all right, you had 25 years. You started in the Marine Corps and then the Army Guard. Give us a quick brief history of your military service and then, you know, kind of how this OWN or Outdoor Warrior Nation thing came to being.
Yeah, absolutely. So, came in as a young man into the Marine Corps. Always wanted to be a Marine. Ever since I've seen those gentlemen when I was in high school. Did three tours with the Marine Corps, ranging from different continents, from Africa, South America, and then done some deployments in the Mediterranean area, Pacific. Then came over to Minnesota Army National Guard and did another five more deployments with those folks. Met a lot of great people. Those deployments range, they're all over the Middle East, right? South Iraq, where you and I spent some time together. And Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and places like that, right? Not some of the best places to you know, hang out at, but just to get the job done. So next thing you know, I was at 25 years, and I was like, all right, what do I want to do with my life now? I need a purpose, and I still need a mission in my life. And so Lisa and I put our hats together and just said, hey, what do we want to do? And I said, let's start this nonprofit, you know, thing that we talked about doing. And so we came up with the name with the help with our board. We all came up with the name Outdoor Warrior Nation because it sounded really good, and it focused on Mother Nature, which we feel like Mother Nature is very important as a healing process for everybody. You know, I need it. Everybody needs it. And the main purpose of doing this is because, you know, it breaks my heart when I hear someone that I know that I served with either in the Marine Corps or in the Minnesota Army National Guard that took their lives. You know, and it really hurts the families. It hurts everybody around that knows that person. And so I said, hey, Lisa, we need to focus on letting people know there's an organization out there that cares about them, and we got to do what we can to help our veterans. You know, not just in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Florida where we're focused on, but across the country too. We don't turn anybody away, but we are focused, you know, in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area and Florida.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you for your service. We appreciate it. And, you know, Lisa, at lunch, we were talking about obviously Outdoor Warrior Nation, and you were saying how the 34 years of service you had, the 25 years that Greg had, the experiences you had over that, and I'm not doing quick public math here, but you're using that skill set right now to run this organization. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so some of the things that we do is we'll come up with an idea. Let's just take skydiving. We will actually go out there, find out who's interested, and then we calculate how much money we need, what day it is, the time frame, and make sure that everybody's there. So it's using logistics. It's using the admin side. It's using pre-planning. It's actually implementing and executing planning at the same time. So all those skill sets that we did together and separately, we do it in our nonprofit as well as in life.
And in military, you were mostly on the administrative side, so I understand that you spent a lot of time making some connections with people.
Absolutely.
Greg is an operational guy, and so she says, here's what we need to do, make it happen, and you go hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. I do what I'm told. But you know what? I don't even consider it work because I love what I do. I love when I see smiles on people's faces, and we try to incorporate the families when we do our events. And when we see the kiddos that are out with the family, the mom and dad, and they're working together, and like you used, you know, we use kayaking, skydiving, I think was what Lisa just said. It brings joy to my heart.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we've got less than 2 minutes here. So I want to make sure, Greg, if you can, just tell our listening audience, really, what is the mission or the vision of Outdoor Warrior Nation?
So, no, that's a great question. So our mission is to encourage military and first responders to enjoy Mother Nature by presenting them with outdoor adventures, i.e. hunting, fishing, horse therapy, kayaking, skydiving, just basically family-oriented activities. We want to make sure that we recognize that those that have gone above and beyond the line of duty.
Awesome. And then, Lisa, Outdoor Warrior Nation, we want to get people in touch with Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing stuff in Minnesota when it's 17 below, or do you guys kind of restrict it to a certain time of the year?
We're going to start this in May, and one of the things that we're going to be doing is it's a Heroes Walk, and then from May time frame all the way into hunting, we actually all go all the way through November.
Okay.
Up here now. With that being said, in Florida, we can do a lot more during the times that it's cold up here.
Yeah. So no igloo building or anything like that right now. But who knows? That could be something in the future. And Lisa, what I heard Greg say was if you tell him to do it, he'll make it happen. So you might have a window of opportunity here.
Oh, absolutely. I do.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, so 30 seconds, you know, if we start getting to the next topic, then all of a sudden we're going to be running out of time. So I think what I'll do is I'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. I want to talk about some of the things and great stories that you have to share about the successes you've had with Outdoor Warrior Nation. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I have Greg and Lisa Hungerville in the studio with me. They're from Outdoor Warrior Nation. And Greg and Lisa, before we went to break, obviously we're talking about your mission, your vision. One of the things I think it's important to know, and I'll come to you, Greg, on this is, you know, who are you really trying to serve? I know you've already mentioned that you focus on Minnesota and Wisconsin, but you'll go anywhere. But who is the person or the entity that you want to serve? Is it just veterans?
Yeah, no, great question, Doug. We focus on veterans and first responders to include dispatchers.
And
the family aspect is very important too, right? So we feel like if the veteran or first responder is actually feeling pain and going through the trauma, well, the family's obviously going through it with them.
Yeah.
So it's important to include both entities. So I feel like that is a good starting point for the process of the healing aspect when we start doing these events.
So, Lisa, you bring a crew out. You mentioned skydiving or even kayaking or something like that. You know, we know that veteran, that first responders, they're the ones with that trauma. But you say, hey, this event is open up to your family, and you find a way to support the family. And is that just like spouse? Is it the kids as well? What is it?
We do basically the person, the spouse, and the kids. So we've done anything from rock climbing. Well, we totally take them out. We want to make sure that they have that community feel. And we do that by actually asking for people to either donate or to sponsor us on different different levels of money that they can actually do. Some people actually just give us money every month from their like TSP accounts and things like that.
And so, you know, you mentioned you go out, like the rock climbing, for example. I'm assuming that you don't just have a bunch of gear and you just go out and do it. You have to create some partnerships with an entity that's their skill set. And then you bring them to that group who then provides the training or the experience?
Correct. So rock climbing was done at the UWRF, University of River Falls. And they had a rock climbing facility right in there. So I actually went in, talked to the person, and we were able to pick a day, get everything rolling, and they signed their consent forms, and we were off.
So what is kind of your process? I mean, how are you finding these entities, organizations that want to team up with you to provide these types of experiences?
Some come to us, and some I go out and find out what our members really want to do. If it's golfing, I'll find like maybe a fundraising aspect of it, and I will get a team together or a couple teams. If it's rock climbing, I'll go find facilities that are close by to some of our members so they can all go. It really is about the location, how many people want to do it, and really, is it the right cost for us, and if they will give us a little bit of a cost difference.
Yeah, and so obviously fundraising is a major...
Huge part.
A major part, yeah, of what you need to do, because you both are obviously retired out of the military. So, you know, that military check, I get one too every month, but, I mean, you don't want to spend 100% of that into this, even though you believe in it, and it's not going to work, Greg, but it's important to have those relationships and have these people that want to donate so that you can continue to provide these experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Those partnerships are very important. And so starting out, and when we first started out, it was a little tricky, right? Because you're trying to figure out the nonprofit realm. I mean, coming from the military and then going to nonprofit, it was tough. But once people saw that we were doing great things in the community, people started jumping on board and saying, hey, whatever you need, you let us know. So it's really, it's very important to have that, the marketing piece, right? It's very important to show that people that we're doing great things. We also do a newsletter we do every quarter, and we push it out to our partners and our members to show, hey, this is what we're doing. And people just love to see, you know, where their donations are going, because all of our donations, 100% of our donations go right to our people. Lisa and I, we don't see any of that. So the more money that we can raise, the more things or events in our community we can do.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that, and I'll come to you, Lisa. You know, you do all these great events, but having the ability to report back to your donors must be an extremely important thing.
It is. It's also thanking them for every donation that we get. We send out a letter saying thank you, and we give a personal note in there how much we really appreciate it. But we also give them the newsletter. They can see the pictures that are on our Instagram and Facebook page. And then we actually credit things to who's ever given us the opportunity or the benefit of the money.
And now, do you actually participate in the events, or do you just do the organization, do the link up, and then the person goes and does the rock climbing, the skydiving, or do you get to actually participate in some of these things?
So let me tell you a story.
Yes,
real
please.
Quick. The reason I actually created some of the events, especially in the first year, is we wanted to have a mission, which is really about helping people understand that there are other like-minded people that really are struggling and they need that other person to talk to. But Greg kept promising me that we're going to go kayaking or go and do things, and he wasn't doing it. So when I had this opportunity, I'm like, yes, I'm going to go plan it. So I planned it, and I got to go kayaking for the very first time down the Kinney River. And I tell him, I said, you're my inspiration, because every time you tell me no, that you didn't have time, I plan something else.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe you took the wrong approach. You should have directed him, because he's already said that if he's told to do it, he's going to make it happen. So
he only said that to you.
So, Greg, I want to come to you because you said that you had a story. And, you know, we like to hear about the successes, right, and great interactions. And it must be very fulfilling for both of you. But, Greg, you said there was something that was just really meaningful, impactful to you. Share that story with
us. Yeah, absolutely. I've got two of them, and I'll make it brief. Recently, we had somebody reach out, a new member that just came off deployment and has been going through some family issues, struggles. And so he pretty much lost his house and everything when he came back, and we found out he needed a vehicle. And the reason he needed a vehicle is so he can get his kids to school, but also go to his medical appointments at the VA here in Minneapolis and take his kids to sporting events, right? Be a good dad. So we did some research, found somebody that donated a vehicle to us. We used some of the funds that's in our budget to get that vehicle up and running, and met him in somewhere outside of Twin Cities area, presented him with the vehicle. He showed up, and we paid for all the licensing and fee and all that. We came out, and I handed him the keys, and he just broke down and started giving me a hug. And I was just like, you know, what do I do? Well, you know what I did? I gave him a hug and started crying back with him.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, Dad, I could feel just the power and the emotions from his body and mine as he was hugging me. And it's the greatest feeling when I can do something, or Lisa and I can do something like that.
Was this a setup where he didn't know this was coming?
Yeah, it was sort of a surprise. Like we said, hey, let me do the legwork. Let me see what I can do. You know, and people can promise stuff and under deliver, right, all the time. But I think we did a good thing for him. He came back 2 months later and gave us like just a lowdown how much the car meant to him, the vehicle, and. You know, he showed us a picture of how he took his kids to the sporting events and stuff like that. It was so impactful. And that's why we do what we do for Outdoor Warrior Nation. We want to impact these veterans and first responders and family members.
So you don't just do then outdoor types events. I mean, this obviously isn't an activity. This isn't an experience. This is one person getting help, in this case, a vehicle. So you look for those opportunities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we couldn't do it with our partnerships and our relationships that we've built along the way with a lot of different people that believe in our mission. And we love them for that. Our mission is very dear and dear to our heart.
So we're running out of time here, but Lisa, how do you measure success?
I measure success by our members, how we grow, by their smiles on their faces when they do the activities, and knowing that they have the opportunity of doing all these fun events and not having to pay for it, because a lot of people don't have that money.
So which of you two want to give the plug? Where can we get more information? How do we get people to come to you and donate? Where do they find out this information about Outdoor Warrior Nation?
Thanks, Doug. OutdoorWarriorNation.org is our website. You can just punch it in on Google, OutdoorWarriorNation.org. We have a donate button. We definitely could use some more funding to help with events that we're doing, key events, helping families and helping their families with military and first responders. We also have a Facebook page and also an Instagram site, Outdoor Warrior Nation. You just plug it in, you'll see tons of stuff on there. We're trying to do the best that we can and continue our mission and vision.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, I really appreciate you guys coming up from Florida and sharing about Outdoor Warrior Nation. We'll make sure that website's out on our show notes, too, so that people can get to it. It'll also be on our webpage. And we hope that people will come and check you all out and provide some donations to you. Appreciate the great work you're doing. And best of luck as you guys move forward and continue in 2025.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much, and thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, you bet. That's Lisa and Greg Hungaville from Outdoor Warrior Nation. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to hear about the CORE program available to Minnesota veterans by Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
The only program of its kind in Minnesota, the Domiciliary Program, also known as DOMS, provides veterans with access to medical, mental health, financial, and social well-being support services. Designed to remove barriers to care and bridge the gap between domiciliary and skilled nursing care, DOMS supports veterans in transition by helping them to find stable housing, work toward vocational goals, and better manage medical and mental health. The Minnesota Veterans Homes, Hastings, is dedicated to DOMS, and the program also operates at the Minnesota Veterans Homes, Minneapolis. At both locations, veterans experience independent living and choose to follow the path that best meets their needs. The Earth Path is designed for veterans to get the most out of life while aging in place at the Minnesota Veterans Homes. The Fire Path helps veterans return to living successfully and independently in the community. The Water Path is designed for veterans who need mental health or sobriety support. Learn more about our DOMS program at minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Adam Doro is the statewide program manager for the Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota's CORE program. The CORE program serves Minnesota veterans and their families. Adam has been with Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota since 2015 and took over the CORE program in 2023. Adam has an educational background in criminal justice and sociology. Adam, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
Good to have you here in the studio. And I understand that you have a family of military service. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. My father served in Vietnam. My mom was a Navy brat moving around the States with my grandfather. So certainly a lot of historical context, and growing up around a lot of Vietnam era bikers is what I remember.
And so as a result of that tie to those who have served in your family, veterans kind of hold a soft spot or a special spot in your heart.
Absolutely. And once I had the opportunity to join the CORE program as a case coordinator, it certainly resonated well with me, and certainly delivered a fulfillment that this program wasn't only, you know, providing services, but they're creating an immediate impact for veterans.
Is that what led you to the Lutheran Social Services CORE program? Is because you're looking for a way to serve our veterans a little bit more closely? Or how did you get involved with or get connected with Lutheran Social Services?
Absolutely. Historically, I've worked with children and various nonprofits doing therapeutic services, so certainly always serving people and whatnot. As my career has gone on, wanting an opportunity to hone in more on the veterans and their families and providing that service. Lutheran Social Service had the CORE program and an opportunity for me to transition to that, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about Lutheran Social Services and what it is and who you serve.
Absolutely. Lutheran Social Service has been partnering with the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs since 2008 with the CORE program. We've been able to provide supports primarily focused on behavioral health, but as the years have gone on, certainly identified other wraparound services that the veterans and their families would benefit from. So that could range from financial counseling, caregiver respite. We recently added LSS Meals to Go. And so in
that food insecurity piece is a pretty important one. We know that there are other entities that are trying to solve that problem too. And since you already have this relationship with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, providing a service to our Minnesota veterans just kind of made sense that you would add on some additional programs or benefits because you've already got really a population of people you're serving.
Yes, absolutely. We want to make sure that we do a full wraparound holistic approach with anybody that we work with. We're going to identify the individual needs of the veteran and their family, create a individual plan that's going to meet that. You know, certainly whenever anybody comes through our door for a referral, we're going to do a overall case assessment, identify those needs. A lot of times we'll find that somebody may have been referred for behavioral health services, but able to identify maybe some meal insecurity or some other supports, whether it's through LSS CORE or even, you know, community partners that we work with.
So when we talk about LSS CORE, we know it's Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota, but CORE is also an acronym. Can you tell us what C-O-R-E is? What is CORE?
Absolutely. It took me about the first 2 years to memorize this accurately. So counseling, outreach, referral, and education. So just, again, going back to that holistic approach of being able to identify all the needs, working directly with a case coordinator who's going to, you know, depending on the case and the individual, if there's needs for weekly check-ins, we try to maintain monthly. But, you know, just keeping a pulse on where they're at as times change, stresses come up, that we're able to deliver services that are appropriate.
And so we know that, because you've already stated that you work in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. They provide funding to allow you to provide the services that you do to our Minnesota veterans and their dependents. So with that relationship, does that mean that you're collecting this data and reporting back to the MDVA about who you're working with and, you know, the services you provide? What kind of information do you share back to the MDVA?
Yes, we certainly do. I'm not the expert admin collector, but, you know, we will share individuals served. You know, last year we served over 800 individuals through behavioral health services. That's including veterans and their families, identifying support through financial counseling, through debt management programs, money saved, et cetera.
So you report back to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs the broad numbers. You're not saying that, hey, Doug Wortham came in and received services from us, because are all of your services then confidential? Is that right?
Absolutely. Everything is confidential. It's not going to be shared. You know, we do work with connecting with insurance companies and things like that, but everything is going to follow regulations.
Okay, so you connect with insurance companies. If you have a veteran that needs some behavioral health counseling and they don't have insurance, how do they pay for it then?
That's a great question. You know, we certainly, if they don't have insurance, that's where CORE is able to step in and provide full coverage for the, you know, family, individual, addiction counseling that the veteran may need. If the veteran does have insurance, you know, we try to utilize that first, just to make sure that we can serve the most amount of people. The benefit of that is if there is a copay or anything like that that would come to the veteran, LSS CORE would cover that. And I always like to note that for those of us that are watching our deductible throughout the year, that can certainly help pay it off and, you know, not have to maybe pay some other bills that otherwise would have been there.
Right. So important to note then that it's free, confidential services to veterans. You don't just focus on veterans, but help me if I'm wrong here. The relationship through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the funding that you receive from them is specific for Minnesota veterans and their families.
Yes, it's specific to Minnesota, all of greater Minnesota, and it's going to apply to veterans and families. So think of spouse, children, parents, you know, anyone you can kind of consider immediate family on that.
So one of the things that we talk about on this show often is we tell our veterans, family members of veterans, dependents, that if you have any questions about what benefits or entitlements you have or services that might be available, we say, hey, the first call should be to your county veteran service officer. Is that a good place for someone to go in order to get linked up with the LSS Core program as well?
Yes, I would concur that on every front, you know, connecting with that county veteran service officer for a myriad of reasons. But certainly we get a bulk of our referrals through CVSOs. Veterans can do self-referral and whatnot, but a CVSO is the best place to start.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so we want to talk about fiscal year 2024, talk about some of the services provided. And you've already mentioned you served over 800 veterans or people last year. So what I want to do is I want to take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll just talk a little bit about the programs, the services you're providing. We'll talk about 2024 numbers and then we'll talk about some other information as it relates to LSS Core.
Thank you.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm speaking with Adam Doro. He's from the Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota, and he's the program manager for their CORE program. And Adam, before we went into break, we were talking a little bit about the CORE program, some of the services that you provide. Everything is completely confidential. But let's talk about 2024. You mentioned last segment that you served over 800 people. So what does that equate to? I mean, when we talk about like number of hours or counseling that's provided, what other kind of statistics or metrics can you kind of put into some framework for us?
Absolutely. The overall number of hours served for last year, I believe, was over 11,000 total. The 800 number I referenced earlier was specific to behavioral health, so individual family therapy services. Within our financial counseling program last year, we were able to also help pay off over $9.5 million in credit card debt. That's through their debt management program and being able to work with creditors to obtain much more reasonable percentages as they work their way through that debt management program.
And I know that that financial services program is extremely important. I've spoken with people at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs who provide a grant program, and often through that grant program, there's a tie to receiving services from LSS Core because of that need to have someone learn how to become what they call financially self-sufficient, right? So how do you manage your money? How do you budget your money? Can you maintain the things that you need to do if I was to give you this grant or the MDVA was to give you this grant, can you maintain going forward? So that's great to hear that number, the amount that's been paid off. It must be kind of neat for you as the program manager to be able to report that type of a statistic too.
Yes, and as I said earlier, one thing I genuinely appreciate about this program is the immediate and real impact that you can see. There's tangible results and, you know, more than just people giving you feedback that's positive, you can see the results there.
So we only have about 2.5 minutes left. And one of the things that we like to hear about successes, right? Some, you know, real life, this really happened to somebody. And we know that everything is confidential. So is there any type of a story or a situation that really stands out to you that you felt really good about being able to help somebody?
Yeah, a couple certainly stand out, and I probably had to narrow down the list a little bit. But, you know, I just want to note that, you know, everything is so individualized within our program. Some people are going to come for that Veterans Relief Grant, you know, work through the system and maybe not need a lot else. We also are going to run into clients who have a lot higher needs, you know, and a higher touch of care. One story that comes to mind that I genuinely appreciated was a FEMA veteran who was disabled in service and was currently sleeping on a futon despite a major back injury. So I was able to connect with some community resources and funding to not only obtain the bed, but I delivered it and brought it into her home to make sure that she was set up to be able to sleep comfortably for the first time in quite a while.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I know you got another one, too. I'll let you get that one out.
The other one I quite enjoyed, it's a Vietnam-era female veteran as well who – Historically has never been able to go hunting due to some disabilities and just lack of access. So I've been working with them originally in the coordinator position and continue to work with them weekly as the statewide program manager. But I was able to provide support and drive and get them to the Camp Ripley Disabled Veterans Turkey Hunt this past May. And I'm happy to report that she not only was able to get out in the woods and navigate all that, but got her first turkey with a crossbow. So it was quite an experience.
Oh, that is awesome. It's great to see and hear about those types of successes. And we're down to about a minute left. So what do you say to somebody who's struggling right now and could use some assistance?
You know, I'd certainly encourage listeners to take a look at our website, lssmn.org/core. Or feel free to give us a call. Phone number is 844-LSS-CORE, which is also 844-577-2673.
Well, that's awesome. And we know that someone can go to their county veteran service officer as well. We'll make sure we put the website in on our webpage here with Minnesota Military Radio so people can get connected with you as well. And it's important that our Minnesota veterans and their families know that there's a great resource like Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota and this CORE program to really help them to achieve some of those personal and professional goals that they might have.
Yes, we're a statewide program, can certainly identify services in the most remote of areas, so please reach out.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us, and thank you for the partnership that you have with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you. I genuinely appreciate it.
You bet. That's Adam Doro. He's the statewide program manager for the Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota CORE program. On the phone from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is the public affairs officer, Melanie Nelson. Melanie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Doug. Great to be here.
Well, it's awesome to hear your voice, and I hope that your new year is off to a great start.
It is. 2025 is going to be our year, right?
Yeah, I know it is. When I met with the director to talk about the year in review, and of course, he talked about 2025 and some great things coming up. And, you know, just, you know, one of the big topics he, of course, touched on was the food insecurity program and the partnerships. And it's just got to be great to see these types of things really come into fruition.
It is. We just had our veteran food pantry at the VA this week. Our veterans were there taking advantage of the great food benefits that we are able to give them. We give them food for about 5 days when they come in, and they can make all their meals with the food that we give them in the box. And we're really so happy that we're able to help our veterans with food insecurity at the pop-up every third Tuesday.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And if my memory serves me right, it was just a couple of days ago, but it was still only like 17 below that morning.
It
so it was a cold day, but you're still taking care of our veterans, and that's important. So we appreciate that. But Melanie, today I'm talking to you, and you're actually on the road.
I am. And
we talked about this on this radio program. I read it in my outro a couple of weeks ago. We talked about a big resource fair that is going on. And so you're down in Albert Lea right now for a veteran resource fair. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm at the National Guard Armory down here in Albert Lea. They graciously opened up their drill floor for us. And so the Veterans Health Administration, the Minneapolis VA Health System, and the Veterans Benefit Administration, along with our colleagues in the VA, the cemetery programs, we're all three here. And so the veterans can come in and check out how to get enrolled in health care, how to file a claim. We actually have six different claim representatives here processing claims on the floor with veterans right now as I'm talking. It's just unbelievable. And, of course, we would never leave our partners in the state out. Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is here with us. MACV, this audience knows MACV and their mission very well. They're here. And I'm really, really happy, Doug, that the CDSOs from Faribault, Freeborn, and Maurer County are here with us because that's really the target of the veterans that we're talking to today from those three counties. And so to have these CVSOs here working with the veterans that come in, it's just great.
What a great relationship and great opportunity, right, to see some of these partners face-to-face, but then knowing you're gathering for a great cause and taking care of our southern Minnesota veterans.
And I'll tell you why we're here and why we picked this place. We've got tools in VA where we can kind of see where our veterans are, and we can see what veterans are eligible for care, and they're not enrolled. They don't have a claim. And so in Freeborn, Faribault, and Maurer counties, we know there's 3,000 veterans, and we know that there's 500 of them who are eligible for care, but Doug, they haven't made the step to take advantage of the care that they have earned or the benefits they have earned. And so that's really what put us here on the map today.
And although it would be too late by the time our audience hears this episode, because it'll be passed, but important message to get to their county veterans service officer
exactly.
and find
yes.
out about benefits. So, Melanie, we have 1 minute, and
yes,
you told me you wanted to make sure that we talked about the National Salute to Veteran Patients in February. Tell me about that.
So National Salute to Veteran Patients, it's the week of Valentine's Day, which is really fitting that we celebrate our veteran patients in that week. And we will be having a program at the Minneapolis VA. But most importantly, we will be going to all of our hospitalized veterans and giving them Valentines that come from you. So I encourage you to go to our website, Minneapolis VA, Google us, and look at us, look up our news feed. We spell out there exactly how you can get involved, how you can write out some Valentines, get them to us, the Minneapolis VA, and we will get them into the hands of hospitalized veterans on our campus that week of the National Salute to Veterans Patients Week.
And who doesn't love to receive Valentines, right, Melanie?
I know. It's so much fun handing them out, too. I got to do it last year. I can't wait for our day this year.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks for joining us. I hope you have a great rest of the day. Take care and good luck at that resource fair.
Thanks, Doug.
You bet. That's Melanie Nelson, the Public Affairs Officer at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your notes and thoughts. Join us next week when we check in with a couple of soldiers who recently returned from an overseas deployment with the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bull Division, and we'll have an opportunity to dive in a little deeper into the University of Minnesota's ROTC program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, I'm your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.